Israel is mad. This arrogant donkey. Yeah. He said that Israel should give the land back that they won in 67. They should move all their boundaries back to 1967. Yeah. Wow, and then he says, to the Syrian president, you know, if you're not going to lead, get out. I wish he'd follow his own advice. What kind of an arrogant character is this guy? Jerry, we got a ring in there. Okay, Isaiah 18, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us now. We have an open book, and I do pray that you'd help us to understand it. And Lord, I do ask that you'd just somehow have mercy in our country. We got a nut for a president. And Lord, I just pray that, man, this is so anti-Israel. Is this country, I'm sure this country, the vast majority of these people don't like this. And Lord, I do pray that you'd have mercy on this country. I'd ask that you'd help us to understand your words tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Isaiah 18, a very short chapter. Chapter 17 was the burden of Damascus, where it's God's judgment laid on Damascus. Okay, I have in chapter 15, I think it is, the prophecy of Palestine. Somewhere in a footnote, I wrote in here, if I could probably find if I look up the word Palestine, that I had a hunch back when I did this, which would have been about 2006, that a nation will come to begin called Palestine. I just had a hunch that the Gaza Strip in that area is going to get its own nation, and Obama said that today. We need to have two nations, one for Israel, one for the Palestinians, and of course they're called Palestine. Now, I wasn't a hard, fast thing, and I just had a hunch, and I think I put it in a footnote someplace. If we find the word Palestine, we'll find it. But I think that is a possibility. Okay, and of course it would be against Israel. And if they do have their own nation there in Palestine, called Palestine, it won't take long that they'll have to fight them too. I mean, it won't take them long. Okay, chapter 18. He says, woe to the land shadowing with wings. Woe to the land. Woe is a judgment. Shadowing with wings, I don't know what he's talking about, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. So is this down in Africa or is it farther? Evidently it's an influential country. Verse 2, that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in the vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, go ye swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trod down whose land the rivers have spoiled. Now that's a weird statement, okay? A nation scattered and peeled. Doctrinally, that would look to appear to be Israel. What's peeled mean? The cross-reference I use there, Micah 3, where that says the word flayed. And the idea is that during the tribulation, the Antichrist and company will massacre Jewish people and they will fillet their skin from off them, cut it off, and then eat them. Okay, and peeled, there's been accounts in war that they peel people alive. Okay, that's when man really goes down under the complete influence of devils. So a nation. So evidently this nation is anti-Israel. Okay, and a nation is scattered. The Jews are scattered in tribulation. appealed to a people terrible from the beginning, a nation meted out, trodden down, the land is going to be trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. Okay, all ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye when he lifteth up an ensign on the mountains. Who's he? Don't know. And when he bloweth the trumpet, hear ye. Looks like the Lord, possibly, verse 4, for so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest. Now when we read that, we know we're dealing with the second coming. I will take my rest. The 1,000-year millennial rest, where the earth will have rest from the curse, the earth gets born again, Israel will have rest, they will be restored. The Lord will have rest as far as the world itself, because the devil and his cohorts will be thrown into hell. So there will not be worldly influence or satanic influence. So verse 4, you know, if you can't figure some of it out, you keep reading and you find something that's pretty clear. So that's pretty clear. So if that's the context of millennial rest, then when we back up, then we can pretty much see verse 2 would be pretty safe ground to be the tribulation. So verse 4, I will take my rest and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For afore the harvest, when the bud is perfect and a sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks and take away and cut down the branches. Okay, folks that have orchards may understand some of that. They shall be left together, and the fowls of the mountains and to the beasts of the earth. Okay, they shall be left together unto the fowls of the mountains. Mountains often is typology of a nation. Fowls and beasts. Beasts of the earth, that would be dogs, strictly for, the common saying is strictly for the birds, or she's gone to the dogs. Now remember that fowls, let's see if I have it. Yep, fowls there. Could be the eagles of Armageddon, but it also could be unclean spirits. Birds are depict unclean spirits. So if this is the rest, though, of verse 4, then the most likely candidate would be over there for Revelation 19. They shall be left together unto the fowls of heaven and to the beasts of the earth, and the fowls shall summer upon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. Spend time in the summer, spend time in the winter. In that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts of a people scattered and peeled. There it is again. Okay, a present. Okay, the kings, the Gentile kings, will bring presents in gold and silver and gifts, frankincense, myrrh, things like that, to the Lord when he's the king on earth. Okay, and they're going to be brought to the Lord of hosts of a people scattered and peeled. Again, the scattered throughout the world, peeled, as far as the people being tortured, okay, and eaten and everything. And from a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out like meeting bounds, boundary methods, and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion. So these are ambassadors here, but yet it is talking, the doctrine there, the best place we're going to find this doctrine will be for the tribulation time period. Historically, it could be Assyria coming in, it could be Babylon coming in, okay, and Lamentations writes about the Jewish people when Babylon comes in, and it's pretty bad. Okay, now chapter 19. Chapter 19 is about Egypt. Okay, remember that Egypt in the Bible is called the house of bondage. And anybody that reads the Old Testament, when you read where the Jews are griping about things and then they want to go back to Egypt, you'd probably have to shake your head and say, what a bunch of knuckleheads. Why do they want to go back to Egypt, become slaves again? But isn't it interesting that the Christian church today is going back to Egypt? The philosophy of Egypt. Okay, they're going back to the Egyptian music, the Hamitic music. Okay, call it country, call it rock, call it jazz, call it Christian contemporary. That's all Egyptian music. You know, where it's got the syncopated beat, the offbeat, fleshly beat. All the new Bibles we know are African Bibles, Alexandria, Egypt. Okay, and so just as Israel foolishly wanted to go back to Egypt, the church is going back to Egypt. And the reason why the church is so worldly today is because they have worldly Bibles. So there's no new thing under the sun. We learn from history that men seldom learn from history. Now, when we get down in this chapter, we're seeing here about the political figureheads of Egypt, international political figureheads. And I mentioned this Sunday about how politicians will use something good, something moral, something to appear as family-oriented in order to get elected in this country. They have to appear good or conservative. Now, what Obama said today definitely is not conservative. Telling Israel to give the land back from 1967. I mean, that right there, somebody is giving him some pretty raunchy advice. Of course, I don't think he has a brain in his head. I think he's an empty suit. He says what's on the teleprompter. I mean, I really believe that. Okay, but he don't believe what he's saying anytime. Okay, but chapter 19 shows the emptiness and the wickedness of political figureheads. The Lord calls them fools in verse 11. These are international figureheads, and he says they're fools. They know how to talk in front of a camera. So this is Egypt. Okay, and so chapter 19, verse 1, the burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. Now this is fighting. The Lord is going to cause fighting between the international figureheads, conspirators. Okay, and we know that the Lord said that when a kingdom is divided itself, it shall not stand, and definitely Satan's kingdom is divided against itself. And one thing we ought to pray for is that they just continue to fight amongst themselves. And the Lord will cause these things. Now, you know, it depends how much conspiracy stuff you read or believe. You know, you have to be careful about a lot of it. Okay, but I noticed, I saw some video clips of, somebody asking Rush Limbaugh about Bohemian Grove, and Glenn Beck, and I think Sean Hannity. And they all mocked it. And one thing, if you call Limbaugh and say anything about conspiracy, you are automatically branded a kook. The guy's bought and paid for. Okay, now I appreciate a lot of things he does say, but he doesn't say enough. Okay, and so these conspiracies, these people obviously, or beings, they will fight amongst themselves because Satan's kingdom is survival of the fittest. Glenn Freeman sent me some things, and I was reading some things about what's going on between the international bankers and these people. And Bill Sneblin will verify to you that Princess Di, or Prince Di, Princess, whatever she was, her death was a ritual killing. I mean, it was laid out. They killed her right at the right longitude, latitude, right at the right time. And from what I, you know, this guy was saying that she actually didn't die in the accident. When she came in the hospital, that's when they pulled her out, cut her out, you know, I mean, killed her. And one of her kids, Henry, or the other guy, I don't know, William, one of them too, he's not, you know, he's somehow, you know, an adulterous relationship. And so the Stewarts and this conspiracy group, they're fighting amongst themselves. And so this one guy, this IMF guy that supposedly was charged with rape, really, that possibly didn't happen, where somebody put that charge on him, threw him in jail, and they wanted to get him out of the picture so they can control the monitor. Now, you know this stuff goes on. I believe it goes on. And they don't love each other, and so they're all just jockeying for position. Now, according to Isaiah chapter 19, verse 2, the Lord himself is the one that will get them to fight amongst themselves. Isaiah 19, 2, and I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight everyone against his brother and everyone against his neighbor, city against city and kingdom against kingdom. These are the spirit beings motivating people to fight amongst themselves. Now, Egyptians, we know that's of the Hamitic race, and no matter what the news media says about thing, the largest number ratio of killing is black on black crime. Black on black is always the largest ratio of deaths. And when a black man gets charged of a country in Egypt, in Africa, and if he has the streak of a tyrant, he will kill his people without mercy. Idi Amin was one such man. Idi Amin's, one of his pleasures was to get 40 men in a room, give them each a hammer, and tell them the last one survives is it. And they'd beat each other to death with hammers. And then the last one standing, he'd shoot him. I mean, that's the mentality. That, to me, that's beyond human. That's when somebody is so infested with devils where they have no remorse about anything. It's been reported that he kept skulls in his refrigerator. It wouldn't surprise me, because that's the mentality or the bestiality of the mindset of these people. Okay, now of course we know that's not how they're going to come across in the media realm, because when Satan appeared to Eve, he probably appears as a man. Okay, but yet he's a serpent. So as we read through this chapter, we see what these beings or people are like. Isaiah 19:3. The spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof. And they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and the wizards. Remember that one cartoon growing up? Mr. Wizard. Oh, Mr. Wizard. You know, all that stuff. Now, the amazing thing is political figureheads do this regularly. When it was reported that Nancy Reagan consulted the stars about Ronald Reagan's travel, a lot of people were wow. Well, it's been reported Hillary Clinton talks to Eleanor Roosevelt, or has talked to her. And how are they doing these things? Through mediums. Okay, we have an inaugural address. That an augur was a Roman mystic or Roman medium that would study animals and then advise political figureheads according to, you know, travels or, you know, voting certain ways. Okay, in our Bible, remember Haman? When he wanted to kill the Jews, they cast lots for that date. You see, and of course, this is the timing of these things. You see, God is a God that works by timing also, where he had in the spring 4 holidays, in the fall 3 holidays. And, you know, if we're going to guess on the rapture, I would guess it would be a springtime happening. Okay, the reason why I would guess towards that is Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 8 to 12, where it talks about the voice of the bridegroom comes leaping and skipping upon the hills, and then it says the rains, the showers are over, and the flowers appear. April showers bring May flowers. And if it was in Acts chapter 2 when the Spirit of God came down and indwelled the believers where they became the body of Christ right at that moment, it would be logical at that same time, Pentecost, that he would pull the bride out. Now, the second coming of the Lord Jesus is clearly in the autumn time, Feast of the Tabernacles. That would be the most logical time. Now, Satan has his dates too. 33rd day of the year, Groundhog Day. It's an animal that crawls out of its hole looking for the light. That's a Mason. That's a Masonic statement. The Masons, I don't know how they say it to each other, I'm looking for a deal. And he says, well, what kind of man? I'm a traveling man. What kind of a traveling man are you? A traveling man is seeking the light. That's codes back and forth between Masons. And if you got a Masonic judge and a Masonic defendant, that judge is going to get him off. We know a Mason that we joked with him a lot about being a Mason. He won't give it up the ring. He offered me his ring when I went into court. He said, want me to give you my ring? Flash the ring to the judge. And then stand there perpendicular and, can I get a square deal? You see, and he used it when he was in court. But it went, in his case, it went too far where the judge even couldn't go that far. It wasn't with him personally, it was somebody else that he was helping. But you see, that's a conflict of interest. But if the attorney is a Mason and the judge is a Mason, now they both, if one goes to the Baptist church and the other one goes to the same Baptist church, that would be a conflict of interest, and people would pick up on that. Same things with the Masons. You see? And, I don't know. That's how it goes. But there's something there. And so verse 4, they're consulting these unclean spirits. Verse 4, and the Egyptians will I give over into the land of a cruel lord. Notice, the Lord himself gives them. And that would probably be a good place right there, and I'm thinking about it, a good place where people get the kind of political leadership that they deserve. Look at our country. We deserve Obama. I mean, the perversion in this country. And I can guarantee that Obama has caused more Christians to get on their knees than any president alive. That's a great thing. You see, that's a good thing. So, and the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord. And a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. And the waters shall fail from the sea, and the rivers shall be wasted and dried up. Drought, and they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up, and the reeds and the flags shall wither. The paper reeds by the brooks and by the mouth of the brooks, and everything sown by the brooks shall wither, be driven away, and be no more. So they get some natural catastrophes, drought here. Verse 8, the fishers also shall mourn, and all they that cast angle into the brook shall lament, and they that spread nets upon the water shall languish. So the fishing industry is going bad. Moreover, they that work in fine flax and they that weave networks shall be confounded. So the economy of the nation is falling apart. And they shall be broken in the purpose thereof, all that make sluices and ponds for fish farming. Okay, and you probably got to go down south for more of that in these days. Okay, then verse 11. Now notice the comment. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. The princes, that's the politicians. The council of the wise counselors of Pharaoh is become brutish. Okay, brutish, that's being a brute, that's being taking advantage of people. It's rubbing it right in their face. How say ye unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? Where are they? Where are thy wise men? Let them tell thee now. Let them know what the Lord of hosts hath purposed unto Egypt. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt. Even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. These are political figureheads. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. See, God is the one that gets involved in this. God gets involved in politics. Now, this is probably, through the years, is probably one of the biggest gripes people say about me is he always talks about government. Always talks about government. Well, if you're going to teach the Bible, especially the Old Testament, and if you're going to teach it faithfully, you have to do that because 70% of those prophets was talking about government structures. And our country itself, the verse that the founding fathers used to establish the three different branches of our country is found in Isaiah 33, verse 22. I think that's the verse where it says, the Lord is our judge, that's judicial branch. The Lord is our king, that's executive branch. The Lord is our lawgiver, that's the legislative branch. That is the exact verse. There are some men doing a study on the founding fathers, reading through their works, and what they were trying to do is they're going to try to figure out who did they quote from the most. What man? Was it Sir William Blackstone? Okay, was it John Locke? Okay, or Adam Smith? Adam Smith's got a book that thick. I got it's about government principles. And they, you know what they discovered? That they quoted from the Bible more than anybody. That's who they quoted from. Okay, and of course, you know, it used to be in our country, in order to be a lawyer, you had to have a degree in theology. An example of that was Charles Finney. Charles Finney was studying to be an attorney, and he noticed that when he was studying to be an attorney, they quoted so much Bible, and he thought, man, I better read the Bible to at least find out where all this is coming from. And then he got saved, and Charles Finney became a great revivalist of his day. So, now, you know, these political figureheads. I know they're intelligent in their own realm, but as far as the morals of life and the ways of God, the Lord said they're fools, they're deceived. Just amazing. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. Verse 14, they have caused Egypt to err. Okay, Okay, a singular perverse spirit. Remember, according to Mark 5, you have an unclean spirit can manifest itself out in multiple unclean spirits or devils, where the maniac of Gadara was legion. And so this a perverse spirit, a one mass coming through there, and then he says, and they would be the devils within that spirit, have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Now, how are they going to update that? The new Bible, make that more clear. As an alcoholic, regurgitates. Okay. I mean, the Bible is very clear. Okay, and verse 15, neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head or the tail, the branch or the rush may do. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women. Now, it's not women, but like unto women in that day. And it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. And the land of Egypt shall be a terror unto Egypt. Or the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. There's that catchword that President Bush made popular. Terrorism. Terror. 1 Peter 3, be not afraid of their terror. Okay, and the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. That was another thing I was reading, what that one guy said, that who they actually killed was bin Laden's brother. Because said bin Laden died in 2002 from kidney failure because he was taking kidney dialysis and everything. And I'd heard that. You see, and so what they're trying to do, they wanted his death to be official so that they can release some funds, some financial funds. Again, you know, I don't know if I believe any of that stuff, but I know stuff like that would go on, not because of, you know, firsthand knowledge, but because of my belief in the Bible itself, because the Bible says these things take place. Okay, 17, a terror in Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. This is where God brings over this nation a spirit of fear. It's like when Israel walked around Jericho, those people inside Jericho were just terrified. And when somebody is so terrified, where he says in verse 16, like women, where they get so terrified, you know, and they don't move, then they become a victim. Okay, and so, and, you know, the idea when we're not used to, you know, being raised in a country, you know, you really have to get in a different mindset when you go into a city, especially driving. You got to drive nuts. Okay, but when you walk into a city, we're so used to just, you know, slam the door shut, don't lock the door, and go in the store, you know, come back out, leave the truck running, you know, and you're not looking for any danger. But when you go into the cities, you got to act like an animal acts, a squirrel, where he's alert to all the dangers around him. And you got to look around, you got to see if anybody is out and about. You know, is anybody hanging behind a shadow? And what are you going to do if they pull a knife? You got to kind of think like them. Why? Because your survival, in some cases, depends upon it. Funny, Brent had mowed a lawn in Toledo, and it was in the darker section. And he was driving to it, and he said he's never been so scared in his life. These guys looking at him, he thought for sure, man, they had looks to kill. He said, man, I was dead. And he gets to the lady's property, elderly black lady's property. She says, son, are you scared? He said, yes, I am. She said, oh, I know those boys down there. They're not going to bother you if you're doing something for me. And so he mows, she says, when you mow the backyard, I'll watch your stuff. That's pretty bad. I don't know if he's going to go back there. But that's where you got to be alert and look around, watch things. And so we're just not used to that. You know, a couple weeks back, Luke goes in the Dairy Queen. That's what he gets for going in the Dairy Queen. He goes in the Dairy Queen, and he just walks in, and he comes back out and didn't realize somebody stole his wallet. He left it in the truck. The next morning, we get a call from the town of Lowell. Is Luke Hoffman live here? Yeah, we have his Social Security card. And somebody had stolen his stuff and just threw some of it. So he never got his license, never got some things, lost the money out of it. You see, you know, he just didn't think of that. Small town. So all the boys, but just didn't give it a second thought. I'll tell you from now on, he'll give it a second thought. You see? And so around this stuff, you know, you just got to look around and learn from these things. Okay, verse 18. In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan. Okay, Canaanites. And swear to the Lord of hosts, one shall be called the city of destruction. In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord, and it shall be for a sign and a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. Now the one thing about Egypt is they don't get wiped out like the Edomites do. Egypt does occur again in a millennial time period, and I would say it possibly is because of the treatment that they did get in Egypt down there, not by Pharaoh, but the Lord and Joseph took the family down there for a time period, plus the time when Abraham went down there for a time period. So there is some pluses that they did give to the nation of Israel. Verse 21, the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day. You see, that's where they get to know the Lord. Second coming, they shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. So the Egyptians and plus the Ethiopians. The Ethiopians still have a large faction of a place of Christians there. Probably from Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. The Lord shall smite Egypt, he shall smite and heal it. They shall return even to the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them and shall heal them. That'll be millennial time period. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria. Man, that's a long highway. And the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. Historically, yes, that took place. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria. But this looks like it's millennial. Even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, that's Iran, and Israel mine inheritance. So that's definitely has to be millennial time period. It's definitely not like that today. And it's never been like that throughout history. Okay, 18, 19, got those done. Any questions or